fathers do we have in here? 2, 3, 4, 5. We're running short, gentlemen. We're outnumbered like 10 to 1, I think. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And I hope you have a blessed day. I know Brother Joe, Debbie sent Barb a picture this morning of their family gathering that they had yesterday for Brother Joe for Father's Day. They had a little cookout, I guess, with his son and daughter, and so they had a good time yesterday. So I'm glad they had that and they were able to do that. Good picture. Maybe I'll put it up on the slide tonight so everybody can see a picture of Joe and his family and Debbie. So it's a good picture of them. But, you know, we have a Father in heaven that is much greater than any father on this earth. And that's one thing my dad taught me years ago. He said, he told me and my brother and my sister, he said, don't ever refer to me as your father, because you only have one father, and he's in heaven. He said, you call me dad. And so that's what we did. We called my dad, dad. We never called him father. And I'm afraid if I had to call him father, he would have probably popped me upside the head with something. Because I got popped upside the head a few times. But I deserved every bit of it, you know. But, you know, last week I started a message, and I didn't get to finish it. And I want to finish it today, if Lord willing, we'll get through it today. But I think it's got a lot to do, and I'm going to tie a little bit into the fathers as well. Because as fathers, we've got a responsibility to be able to make sure that our children are believers and our grandchildren are believers. And we need to be able to share with them exactly what kind of benefits there are in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to share that. Started it last week, so if you would, please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'm just going to read verse 1 and verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And if you would, please stand with me as we read the Word of God. The Bible tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, as we look into it this morning, we ask that you would open our understanding, and Father, that you'd give us the words to say, and that you'd give us the words that need to be heard from heaven. Father, that you'd speak to each heart individually and speak to us collectively as a church body. May we be drawn closer to you as a result of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, as we looked into this, you know, we kind of opened up with, you know, anytime you go for a job, you're looking for a job interview, anything like that, you always ask about the benefits. That's the first thing you want to know. You want to say, okay, what's in it for me? You know, what kind of benefits do I have? What's the insurance like? Because the benefits sometimes outweigh the pay. But as Christians, our benefits are out of this world, plain and simple. And last week, we talked a little bit about being justified there in verse 1, where it says, therefore, being justified by faith. And we talked a little bit about what that was and what justification is, which simply means to be declared not guilty as we stand before God. Anytime we go before God as a Christian, if there's sin in our life, we can confess that sin. And when that sin is confessed, once again, we are declared not guilty before God. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have that benefit of being justified. And thank God for that. I mean, we are blessed to be able to stand before God Almighty and know that we'll stand before Him one day and don't have to be judged if we confess our sins now. That's why He gave us 1 John 1:9. But we remember that Jesus Christ is the justifier. He's the just one, and He's the only one that can justify us. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no justification. There's no declaration of being not guilty without the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one who paid the price on Calvary. And so justification can only be rendered through the just one. And I often think about that, and sometimes as Christians we need to pause, and we need to think about the Lord Jesus Christ already in heaven before He even came to this earth and took on the form of a human being. He took on humanity, and He gave up heaven. He gave up the glory and the beauty of heaven to come down to this ugly world that we live in and walk amongst sinners and take the sins of the entire world and place them on Himself. His Father in heaven, His Father took our sins and put them on His Son. And when he did that, he couldn't even look at his own son. I couldn't imagine never being able to look at my son because of the sin in his life. I have two sons. God's blessed me with two sons. And I would hate to think that I would look on them and look at the sins of the entire world placed on their back as they were crucified on a cross. My. Happy Father's Day, God. I mean, he's the one who deserves the glory, not us. But because we have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have all that goes along with that justification. There's other parts to this salvation, folks. It's not just being declared not guilty. There's more to it than that. We have got benefits, like I said, that are out of this world, plain and simple. If you continue there in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. I remember times growing up that I didn't have peace with my dad. and I understood why. I mean, when he wasn't peace-loving, because I did something stupid, usually, the peace between me and my father was broken. But you know, with my heavenly father, see, I didn't have an advocate between me and my dad. I have an advocate between me and my heavenly father. And as a result of that, I have peace with my father at all times. And see, the world can't say that. They can't claim that they have peace with God Almighty. But we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we've been justified, declared not guilty from all that we've done or will do in the future. Plain and simple. Anything you've ever done in your past, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have the justification. Folks, you don't have peace with God without going through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the condition of man reveals his need for peace. I mean, look in this world right now. I mean, there's no peace anywhere. There's a lack of peace. There's war, rumors of wars, it talks about the latter days, that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and it's going on in the world today. And folks, I'm telling you, if there's ever a time when this world needed peace, it's right now. But think of it this way. There's never going to be peace on this earth until the new heaven and the new earth is set up. But right now, as an individual, as a Christian, you can have peace with God. As a non-Christian, if you're here today and you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you can have that. You can have that peace with God Almighty. And there's no greater peace that you'll ever have than peace with the Heavenly Father. But it is the sin that breeds quarrels between us and God, because sin will build a wall between you and your Heavenly Father. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. It's clear that if we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's just to cleanse us of all of our sins, of all unrighteousness of any kind. And we've got a responsibility to go to Him. So rather than quarrel with God, which we always want to do, it seems like every time we look at the Bible or somebody preaches the Word of God or somebody teaches it and somebody's toes get stepped on, first thing we want to do is say, oh, he ain't talking about me. Well, yes, I am. And quite frankly, I'm talking about myself most of the time. I've told you all that before. Anytime God gives me a message, it's because it's something that I need in my life as well. Not just that I feel you all need it, but I need it in my life as well. But it creates what this quarrelsome attitude happens in the lives of believers is it creates not only a quarrel, but enmity between us and God. And we've got a responsibility to make that right. Every time something comes up in our life, we got to go before God. I remember having to go to my dad. I remember one time I did something so bad. And I'm not even going to tell you what it was. It was so bad. But I was only in the fourth grade. But I did something really stupid. And I allowed myself to be used in a very stupid way. And I remember when I got home, my mom usually, she wasn't afraid to take a belt to me either. But I remember she said, you go in there and you sit down until your dad gets home. And I went in and I sat down. I sat in that chair until my dad got home. And I wasn't allowed to get up. And I knew if I got up, my mom knocked me back down. But I tell you, I had a fear. I had a fear of what was going to happen. I knew the peace between me and my dad at that point had been broken. And my dad came in, and he broke my heart. He didn't break the belt on me this time. He just broke my heart. Because he came in to the living room where I sit, and my dad was in Bible school at the time. He'd been at work all day. So he was going to Bible school, and he was working at the same time. And he came in that evening for dinner, come home for dinner. And I was sitting there, and my dad came in, and he had tears in his eyes. And he sat down there and he looked at me. And he never said one word. He just looked at me with tears in his eyes. And when I saw those tears in my dad's eyes, I knew I'd never do that again. And I can't imagine our Heavenly Father looking down on us right now with a tear in His eye, because there's something that's broke the peace between us and Him, something that caused us to have enmity between us and Him. Search your heart. Ask the Father, is there something between me and you? Because we can build a wall between us and our Father in heaven by the lives that we live, by the things that we think, by the words that we say, by the places that we go. We have to be careful with that. We have to guard ourselves. But you know what? Praise God, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus did for us, we can have that peace with God. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We're no longer under the law, we're under the grace of God. But you know what? God gave us the law for a reason, because that's the kind of a life He wants us to live. So many times Christians think because they're under the grace only, that they're no longer under the law, that they can use that as a license to commit sin. I'm telling you, no, it doesn't work that way. We do not have a license to commit sin. We still have a responsibility to live according to the Word of God. We need to hide it in our hearts to keep us from sinning against Him. That's very clear. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? If you're friends with this world and you want to live like the rest of the world lives, shame on you. Shame on you. You know, we need Christians today that's going to stand up because they have peace with God the Father, and they want to hold on to that peace with God the Father and stand up when sin rears its ugly head and call it out for what it is. Sin is sin. It's wrong. And we have a responsibility to call it what it is. And if you don't have the backbone to do that, ask yourself why. Is there a lack of faith? Is there a lack of wisdom, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning? Well, whatever it is, try to get it right. Get it right with God. Don't have that in your life. He said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What are you living for? What's the most important thing in your life right now? Is it this world? Is it the things of this world? Are you trying to make Him known to as many people as possible? Are you trying to know Him better yourself by walking according to the course, not according to the course of this world, but according to the course of heaven? Enmity means hostility, hatred, ill will, malignant disposition, to be an enemy of. I don't want to be considered to be an enemy of God. I don't want anybody in Abundant Life Baptist Church to be considered an enemy of God. I want us all to have peace with God. But the Holy God, our Holy God, the Holy God, cannot be at peace with a sinner continuing in his sin. If you're wallowing in sin, folks, you need to get it right with God. Make it right with God. Keep your peace with God. You know, immediately upon the removal of sin, the moment we go before God when we do what's wrong and we confess it as sin and we make it right, The peace comes, folks. I remember that day I was telling you about when my dad looked at me with that I can still picture his face, how sad he was because I did something really stupid. And I remember the sadness in his eye. And I remember looking at him and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. He had me crying. And it wasn't from pain to my backside this time. It was because he hit my heart. When God speaks to your heart, when your Heavenly Father speaks to your heart, folks, listen to what He's saying. Listen to what He's saying. Don't suppress the Spirit of God when He's trying to tell you something. When there's something in your life that's got to change and you're falling in love with the world and you're falling out of love with God, get back with God. Get back with God. Fall in love with God Almighty again. Don't fall in love with this world. Walk away from it. But the character of peace of a justified man, there's character about this. There is more in this peace that we can even begin to think about, because it breaks down the enmity, it takes out the hatred, the hostility. God hates sin. And if there's sin in a Christian's life, it breaks that wall of peace down between you and Him, But you can have that peace back. And it's a simple thing to do. There's also loving kindness from God to a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will take time and he will listen. That's the thing about our Heavenly Father. There were times my dad wouldn't listen to me when I tried to make an excuse, of course, for something that I did, because excuses didn't work with my dad. And they don't work with God either, because God knows the heart. And he knows it's desperately wicked above all things. Nobody can know their own heart. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake." It's a matter of just believing what the Word of God says, taking God's Word for what it is, and he was called a friend of God. A friend of God. Are you a friend of God's today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed your sins before him? Have you accepted what Jesus did on the old rugged cross for your sins and had peace with God? God is either your best friend or he's your worst enemy. And I don't know about you all, but I do not want God to be my worst enemy. I'd rather have him as my best friend any day. I would much rather be called a friend of God than an enemy of God. And if I have to turn my back on the world and say no more of that, then so be it. So be it. Put the sin aside. Put the sin aside and pick up the Word of God. Pick up the Word of God, love the Word of God, cherish the Word of God, walk with God. But God and Moses talked together as friends. Exodus 33:11 tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Unto his friend. That song, "Sitting at the Feet of Jesus," we've sang it here multiple times. I love that song. But I often think when I hear that song or I read that song, sometimes I'll just read it once in a while just to remind me what it's like to sit at the feet of Jesus. And then it makes you want to get up and go sit at his feet. When was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet as a friend of Jesus? When was the last time you were considered a friend of God because you had no sin in your life? We're all sinners, folks. The only difference between us and this world is we're saved by God's grace. We're all sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all there is to it. But there's a channel which peace is brought to man through, and that's confession to God. When we confess our sins, that opens that channel up between us and God, and it brings the peace into our hearts with God Almighty. And there's no greater feeling than to know that there's peace between you and God Almighty, or between you and your earthly father, and fathers, earthly dads. It's important that you keep that channel open yourself and be able. Don't shut your kids down. I don't care how old they are. Make peace with them if there's something going on between you and your children. It's up to you as the dad to set the example. If there's something in your heart against your own children, don't be afraid to go to them and say, "Hey, listen, let's get this right. I want to have peace between us." There's nothing worse than having enmity in your heart with your own child as a dad. That's an ugly thing. That's an ugly world to live in. And you know, dads need to set the example as God sets the example. When your kid comes to you and they ask for forgiveness, oh, by God, you ought to forgive them, plain and simple. You ought to accept accept their offer of apology. I remember that day when my dad, when I looked at him and I started crying and I had to apologize to him, my dad finally stood up after about an hour, it seemed like. Seemed like eternity. It feels like I'm still sitting there sometimes. But my dad got up and he came over and he gave me a hug and he told me he loved me. He said, "Son, don't ever do that again." And I said, "I won't, Dad." And I never did. Never even thought about doing it again. It was dumb. But anyway, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He'll pick you up in his arms of grace, and he'll forgive you, and he'll let you know there's peace between you. And there's no greater feeling on this earth than to know that there's peace between you and your Creator. But that channel can be shut down. Don't let it shut down. And so through Jesus Christ, our great peacemaker, the mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He's the one who opens the door to peace. He's that channel by which peace goes through, folks. Ephesians 2:14 tells us, "For he is our peace." Speaking of Jesus Christ, he's the source of our peace. "Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." In other words, that wall that's there between us and God when there's sin in our life, Jesus is the one that breaks it down. And when we go before our Heavenly Father, when we do that which is wrong, contrary to the Word of God, and we become lovers of the world instead of lovers of God, and that's a big thing in the world today. I'll tell you, you got to have the best house, you got to have the best car, you got to have the best clothes, you got to have the best job. You got to have the best prestige, and you just fall in love with the things of the world. And when you do that, you become an enemy of God sometimes. Not that God don't want you to have what's good, But I'm not going to stand up here like some preachers and say, well, God just wants to bless us all. I'm not going to do that, folks. I'm not going to do that. My name's not Joe Osteen, and I will not stand up here and tell you the things that he tells his people. Sure, I could do that. We could run 10,000, 20,000 people in a church. I mean, we could get rid of the piano and the organ, and we could bring up the guitars and the rock and roll bands and turn up the blue lights and the fog on the stage. We could have a house full, but that would make us an enemy of God. We want to do things right, folks. We're not going to take away the old paths, so to speak. We're going to stick to the old paths here at Abundant Life Baptist Church. There ain't going to be no blue lights on this stage. Ain't going to be no fog on this stage. Folks, we're going to stand for what is right. We're going to worship God out of a sincere heart, out of a heart of meekness when we go before our Father, because I want to be called a friend of God, not a friend of the world. And if we have to bring the world in to grow our church, I don't want our church to grow. I don't want it to grow. I don't want the world in here. And if you bring the world in, take them back out with you. Plain and simple. Keep the world outside the doors of this sanctuary. That's why it's called a sanctuary. We gather here to worship God Almighty. And that's what we're going to do when we come together, because we want peace with God. We want peace with God. And we're not going to let go of that peace. Plain and simple. So number three, we have access to God. So not only are we justified by God, declared not guilty, and we have peace with God, we have access to God. What a wonderful thing. I remember there was times I needed to talk to my dad on this earth and I couldn't get a hold of him because he's down the bottom of the mines somewhere. But my Heavenly Father is always available for me. We have access to Him at all the time. Because of our state in Jesus Christ, it is a state of grace. And verse 2 implies there in chapter 5 of Romans, it implies very clearly that we are not born into the state of we were not born into the state of having access to God, but we attain it through salvation. It's a benefit only to those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ in our life. We have access to our Father anytime, anywhere, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you still have access with God. And sometimes, folks, the moment the sin reaps up its ugly head, sometimes right then is when you kneel down or you bow your head and you say, Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have been there, and I was there. Forgive me of my sins. And right then, because we have access to God no matter where we are at. God's everywhere. I don't care where you're at. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent, plain and simple. So we have access to God anytime. Through sin, Adam lost his access to God. Remember when Adam sinned against God in the garden, and God comes through the garden, he's calling for Adam. He knew where he was. God already knew what Adam and Eve did. And God said, where are you? Why are you hiding? He said, because I was naked. Well, who told you were naked? Sin told him. Sin told him. And it was wrong what his thinking, because it changed his mind. Sin took his eyes off of his Heavenly Father. And that's what it does. Sin will take your eyes off of your Heavenly Father. But Jesus Christ is the author and finisher and principal agent of giving us access to God the Father. Faith is a means to this access. We have to have a stronger faith. The believer has access to the presence of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not by any consideration or any merit of our own. We're not saved by our works, folks. We don't have access to God by our works. It's by grace we are saved. It's by grace that we have access to our Heavenly Father. And that's the only way we can come before Him, that because of our standing with Him in Jesus Christ. It says, wherein we stand. This is a posture that denotes our discharge of guilt. In other words, because we are declared not guilty before God, we have peace with God, we have access to God, and that's a blessing to be able to go before our Heavenly Father anytime we want to, because of our standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure that we stand firm and safe, and we're able to uphold just a hand of praise to God. And when we sin, it's okay to raise a hand and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. And that's part of repentance, folks, is admitting that what you did was wrong. I had to admit to my dad that day that I was wrong, and I knew I was wrong. But when I saw the tears in his eyes and I saw the look on his face, and I knew how much I hurt him, think about how much your Heavenly Father hurts. when you don't live according to the Word of God, when you choose to deliberately do wrong, when you choose to deliberately look at the wrong thing, listen to the wrong thing, go to the wrong places, think how your Heavenly Father must feel when all He wants to do is love you and have a relationship with you like no other has. Think about that. Number four, we have hope. We have hope. Hope. Anticipation. Usually with pleasure, expectation or confidence. Faith and hope kind of go hand in hand. Our hope is in the future glory of God Almighty and the future that we have in Jesus Christ. The kind of hope, this is the kind of hope that the world doesn't understand, folks. We have a hope in Jesus Christ as if we're in heaven right now. It's like you live there right now. You are in His presence right now. And I've heard Brother Joe say it time and time again since we've been going to visit him. You know, he says, Jesus wants me in His presence. What He says. And the Father wants us there with Him as well. And it's an appointed time unto man wants to die. That's your appointed time. Nobody's going to go before their time. But you know, the good thing of it is God's not done with us. If there's air in our, if there's oxygen in our lungs, God's not done with us. I told Brother Joe again yesterday, I said, God ain't done with you, Joe. You know how I know that? You're breathing. You're still here. Praise God. Use it as an opportunity. And He does. He does. Debbie was telling us about a guy who came in there yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before. He was there the other day and shared with him a little ministry he's got going on over in Libya he's from Libya and he's got some stuff going on over there for the Lord and he inherited a bunch of acreage, and he's trying to turn it into something for God over there. Folks, I'm telling you, every opportunity we have, God will send people your way. He will send people your way. And you know what? Because we have that hope in Jesus Christ, we got to make sure that we share that hope with other people. We have assurance right now as if we are in the presence of God Almighty right now. And I'm just as sure of heaven as if I'm already there. I'm there now, folks. And the world can't take that away. And my sin can't take that away. But I got to confess it when I do it. I got to do the right thing. But I have a hope in Jesus Christ. A hope like no other. Our hope is in the future glory of God. The future hope of glory is sufficient for the present joy right now. If you want joy in your life, hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in the fact that you have a heaven waiting for you. And you know, no matter what you do, folks, Jesus gives us that hope. And the hope that maketh not ashamed, down in verse 5 of the same verse, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Plain and simple. I mean, we have that hope, that assurance, as if we're in heaven right now. Nothing can take that away. So the benefits that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, it's out of this world, and nothing can change that. Proverbs 10:28 says that the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Set the example in this world. Let people see out there in this world that need Jesus Christ that they can have the same hope that you have if you're born again. And Psalm 71:1, the Bible tells us, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You want to live a confusing life? You want to live a confusing life? Live for the world. Live like you live in the world. Live like the world lives. Don't set an example. And number five, spiritual deception. I'm going to talk a little bit. This isn't one of the benefits, but I want to talk about spiritual deception and delusion for a moment. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, it tells us, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I wanted to tie this into this message because I think it's important that we need to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. I don't want anybody in our church thinking they're saved. I want people in our church knowing they are saved. This isn't a think-so salvation, folks. It's a know-so salvation. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it records the tragic results of spiritual delusion or deception, deceiving our own selves. Jesus says here, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thing. There are so many people in this world who believe that they're saved, and they may not be. Jesus made a clear distinction between those who merely claim to be Christians and those who truly are. It's pretty easy to read through this right here. The difference is that true believers do the will of the Father. That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. Do the will of the Father. In the words of James, they are doers of the word and not hearers only. So many people in this world think all they got to do is come to church on Sunday morning, or maybe Sunday night, or maybe Wednesday night, and then they think, you know what? I heard the word. I heard it. There's more to it than just hearing. James made it clear. Jesus made it clear right there as well. Hearers. People are deceiving their own selves. It's a mind game. It's a mind game. We think we're okay because, well, we came to church Sunday morning. I heard the word. I'm okay. But are you a doer of the word? Are you doing what God tells you to do? Are you living up to the word of God? Hearers in James 1:22 translates a Greek word speaking about sort of like auditing in a classroom. But unfortunately, it's kind of like you go to school, but you don't learn anything. People come to church and they don't learn anything. They just think they're okay because, well, I went to church Sunday. I'm all right. I heard the word. But what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's more to it than just, and it works both ways, folks. A lot of people get so busy doing, they're never hearing. There's got to be a combination there. You got to be a hearer and a doer of the word. You can't just do one or the other and think you're getting by with it. But it's kind of like, unfortunately, if a person goes to a class all the time and they're constantly hearing what they're being taught, and then when it comes down time for the examination, and they fail it, whose fault is that? Whose fault is it? It's the student's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. Pastor can stand up here and preach all day long. I can stand up here every day and preach to you the word of God, and if you just hear it and you don't do anything, then I've wasted my breath. I don't want to waste my breath for God. Folks, I want people that are doers. We need people that are doers, not just hearers of the word of God. You not only need to hear it, but you need to act like God's people. People who listen to God's word but never obey it are spiritual auditors who deceive themselves by thinking that I'm hearing the word of God, I'm okay. No, do something. Do something for God. I'm always encouraging y'all, grab some tracts out there. Grab a John and Romans or something. Pass it out. Leave it on a table if you go out and eat somewhere. Get the word of God out there. How tragic to think that you're saved only to hear Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, you who work iniquity. Man, I don't ever want to hear that. I don't want to stand before God and see the congregation from Abundant Life Baptist Church stand before Jesus. And you say, you know what? I was at church Sunday morning. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. Make sure your calling and your election is right. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. Get involved. There's always something to do. We got Vacation Bible School coming up July the 20th. Got a couple ladies involved in that. Anybody else wants to get involved? Talk to that young lady right there, Emma. Emma, right? Talk to Emma. She's going to head that up this year for us. So talk to her. Get involved. See some kids saved. Help them grow in the Lord. Be a doer, not just a hearer. And don't just try to be a doer all the time and never a hearer. It's got to be a little bit of both. You got to be in church, but you also got to do what God tells you to do when He's speaking to your heart. What a tragedy to think that there are those in this world who think they're saved because they went to church on Sunday morning. I spend an hour in church every Sunday. That's all I needed to do. That's all God wants me to do. No, that's not what all God wants you to do. Read it again. It's in Matthew. Jesus Himself said it. So whether it's amazing, you know, sometimes we're more worried about the things of this world than we are spiritual things, because sometimes we don't think of the benefits that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do think we want the benefits, but we don't want to do anything. Of course, you can't earn your salvation. That's free, folks. Your salvation is free, 100%. Nothing changes that. But when we go for a job interview, we're always worried about what the benefits are. Think about the benefits we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have access to God. But folks, don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. And don't just be a doer. Do you think because you're busy all the time that God's going to accept that? That's works. Got to be a little bit of a balance of all of it. So the decision that I would challenge every one of us today is an eternal. It's eternal importance. Consider the benefits of being born again. Oh, they're beyond this world. They are beyond this world. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come to Him today for salvation. You know, right relationship with God means you're justified, declared not guilty. Peace with God, you can't beat it. You can't beat having peace with God. And the privilege of having direct access to the Creator. Folks, we take that for granted. You know, Joe said something to me yesterday. Every time I go there, he says something to me that makes me think. And what he said yesterday, and he said it many times, the other times I've been out there visiting with him at his house. He says, I don't understand why people take for granted the privilege of going to church. He said, they go on Sunday morning, maybe. He said, until it's taken away from you, you don't realize what a privilege, what an honor it was to be in church. His heart breaks. Debbie's heart breaks. They want to be here. And we have people that come once a month, Sunday morning, and they think that's okay. And I look for that day to go to be taken away from us one day in America. I think we're getting. I read a thing yesterday where there was almost 5,000 people last year in 2023 put to death because of their belief in Jesus Christ. Around this world, 5,000 people laid down their life. We struggle getting up and going to church. These people laid down their life for Jesus Christ. And we have access to God by faith in to the grace of God. And these people were willing to lay down their life. And we can't even go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Get involved in a few things. Camp Jerry. Get involved. Vacation Bible School, July 20th. You hear that? July 20th. What date was that? July 20th. Get involved. Find out what they need. So how do you have all these benefits? There's only one way to have them, folks, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. We have peace, we have access, and we have hope in Jesus Christ. And we're justified, declared not guilty, through the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing for Him? Don't just grab the benefits and think that's all there is to it. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Get involved. Father, we thank You for Your precious word this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would just continue to speak to our hearts through the invitation time. Father, we want to be a church that's a doing church, not just a hearing church. We reap the benefits that You give us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we're grateful for all of those benefits, Father. Justification, peace, access, and hope. Lord, help us not to take them for granted. Help us not to take for granted the privilege of being able to be together with God's people. Father, I pray for those who wanted to be here today and couldn't be because of illness. Think of them, Father, and ask that You would bless them today. For there are those who long and desire to be with God's people, but illness keeps them away. Father, they're here with us in spirit. Bless them, I pray for that. And Lord, I pray today, Father, that You would help us, Lord, to remove any enmity that's in our hearts between us and You, that we'd make it right. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of those that we love and cherish on this earth. That they would see Christ in our life and be drawn closer to You. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray.